For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's see here. Acuron corn herbicide. Powerful weed control? Check. Long-lasting residual? Check. Proven crop safety? Check. Acuron checks all the boxes, which is why it outperforms and outyields all other corn herbicides by 5 to 15 bushels an acre. Visit Acuron-herbicide.com to learn more. Always read and follow label instructions. Acuron is a restricted-use pesticide.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
When it's the dog days of summer, that means just one thing. Time to clock out, sit back, relax.
Shut up!
Yeah.
All right? How about that?
Sorry about that. It's time to lock in for another edition of Moneyline with the two best hosts on radio, Donnie Wrightside.
But it is what it is. Otherwise, if we just ran off a spreadsheet, there'd be no gambling, there'd be no sports books, because everybody would just press buttons and win every single thing they absolutely bet at that point.
And Kevin Walsh.
Even if the matchup's a little worse, Donnie, odds are he's going to bounce back because he's just been too good kind of right now, and he let an opportunity pass him by.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, SiriusXM Channel 159.
Are you ready? It's a solo mission. It's a hump day right here on the Sports Grid Network. This is Moneyline. I'm Donnie Wrightside, and we are ready to get it started. A lot of hot topics today. We'll get to, and also a big Major League Baseball card. We'll try to get through as many games as possible, pick out the winners, pick out the losers, pick out some RBI props, and other things nonetheless. Now, just to set the table for today, yesterday, as I posted online, at WrightsideVP, if you're following me on Twitter or the X Machine, we had a lot of bets in the RBI market. When it was all settled yesterday, all of my bets combined ended up dropping $27 on the night. But really, I think I had 21 or 22 RBI props posted yesterday, just hoping to catch some lightning in a bottle. Now, granted, you're not going to win all of those, but how about this? We talk about sometimes winning lottery tickets in sports, right? It doesn't happen all that much. Otherwise, everybody would win and everybody would just retire a handicapping legend. But I had a 25 cent, not $25, a 25 cent bet yesterday with Bet365. It was a parlay, which again, I think, let's just say it was 21 guys to get an RBI. If they all got an RBI yesterday, which of course they didn't, I'm still here today, the payout was $3.65 million. Boy, how much fun would that be? And how about if it came down to the late game, like the Padres? You just needed two more RBI for $3 million. They would give you a payout at that point, or should I say a cash out option. I wonder what that would have been. $700,000, $800,000, $900,000, something in that range. That would be wild. It would be so much fun to watch it play out. But here nor there, it didn't come close to getting that in. But I lost a little bit, a lot of fun. And you guys know the way I handicap and the way I bet. Not really watching the games live per se. I do have the MLB channel, or should I say the MLB ticket. So if you just want to post up on one of those games on your phone, you can watch. And I do that quite a bit. Hey, my batter's up, runner on second and third. Let me see how this plays out. But typically, it's just I set it where I get the, you know, relay from my phone to my watch and it buzzes. Every time it buzzes, that's good news. You check the watch, you see you got the RBI, you see you got the base hit, you see you got the team total, you get the picture. And it was buzzing a lot last night, but needed a few more buzzes in order to be profitable. But today, we're going to be back at it, Major League Baseball. A lot of fun to have there. As I said, we'll make sure we go along each and every game to see how many winners we can try to find. Having said that, we don't yet have phone lines that are working right now. I know it's a big part of the Moneyline show. I do miss the callers out here. So once again, we've done this in the past. We are a digital show, which means you can reach out at any time you want on social media. And I tweeted today, big Major League Baseball card on Moneyline at Sports Grid Radio, hashtag SG Moneyline. One word together, hashtag SG Moneyline. If you have a question, you have a hot topic, you have something to get off your chest, if you want to talk about an NFL game, If you want to talk about a Major League Baseball game, if you want to get a hot topic going in college football, just shoot it out there. Got it open on my desktop. Be checking it periodically throughout the show. So I know you can't call in. Would love to hear your voices, but you can still get through to your boy Donnie Wrightside here through social media, hashtag SG Moneyline. Use that. Write a note. Write a pick. Say hello. Do whatever you got to do at that point. I'll make sure I'll be checking the hashtag here on my search bar. All right. Let's get to the hot topics today before we do eventually get into some Major League Baseball. I wanted to get into this, and sometimes these hot topics, you have to write down that pop up and say, you know what? I have to make sure I talk about this because if I don't write it down, I probably would just move on to the next thing. The New England Patriots, for me, have been in the crosshairs throughout just about the last, let's just say, season and a half. The downfall of Bill Belichick finally running out his term. Was it more Brady? Was it more Belichick? We'll never actually know, but Brady left and won a Super Bowl, and the New England Patriots didn't do much from here on out. This year, they are supposed to be, now supposed to be, before the first regular season game and supposed to be before the final regular season game, certainly are two different things. Their win total, 4.5. This is a team that you were penciling in 4.5 wins in the division every single year before the season even started. A lot of times going 5-1 in the division. A lot of times going 6-0 in that division, setting them up for long playoff runs with great seeding because they used to smash that inept AFC East division. But now coming into this season, 2024, the New England Patriots picked dead last in that division, and rightfully so. I've said it many times here on the airwaves. When you are looking at the New England Patriots, to me, least talented team in the NFL, and it might be by a long shot. And they're playing in a tough division. You might say the Carolina Panthers, but the Panthers got a much easier division than the New England Patriots do here in the East. We'll find out how that plays. But also, taking a look at the team that were expected to have the worst record, also the favorites, the New England Patriots. Just devastating. What a downfall for the Patriots. But also, from fans of the NFL, love to see the Patriots and their fans get their comeuppance with bad football teams. You got away with it for so long with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. The tables have now turned. But some things creep up. The Philadelphia Eagles, you guys know, it's my team. They're in town to take on the New England Patriots on Thursday night at Foxborough Stadium, game number 2 of the preseason. Where hopefully you're getting some starters to play. But Major League Football teams will tell you they get more work out of those preseason practices and joint practices with the other NFL franchises that they do from the actual preseason games themselves. And it makes some sense. You get some good one-on-one work. You have an atmosphere that you can control. You get some good tape on there. And you find out really who's going to be playing and not. You're not going to script and game plan going out on the field against the Patriots or the Eagles on Thursday night. It's just not going to happen. But that's not even the issue I have. Gerard Mayo is the new head coach, handpicked by Robert Kraft to be the successor from Bill Belichick. But sometimes when you take a look at new head coaches and what that means to the organization, it's going to be hard to live up to the hype that Bill Belichick had all those years in New England. I don't think anybody, quite frankly, is asking Gerard Mayo to do that, but he is coming off the heels of a legendary coaching run. His team, for me, is the least talented in the NFL. That's an uphill climb right off the bat that you don't wish to any coach. But I'm sure he's getting compensated very well from the New England Patriots. And if he gets canned in 2 years, he'll find a job somewhere else with a lot more money in his bank account than he had before. But sometimes I start to scratch my head when I see quotes like this. Quote from Gerard Mayo. You don't fight in a real game. You fight in a real game, you get fined, you get kicked out. End quote. My message to the players, if you get in a fight out here, if you're a starter, you're going to play the whole preseason game. If you're not a starter, you won't play at all. So things get scrappy, and yes, nobody's looking for straight-up brawls in practice where it's like, let's just square up one-on-one and throw punches and like we're Mike Tyson versus Evander Holyfield. But you do get dust up. You do get scrapped up here because it's hot. Guys are fighting for positions here. Guys are getting testy. It happens every single year. And as I said, nobody's expecting to have bench-clearing brawls every 15 minutes at a joint practice. But brawls do break out at times. They get separated quickly. Typically, nobody gets injured, and you go back to your huddle. So Gerard Mayo basically saying, if you are a starter, which I'm going to need you for the regular season, and you fight against another player in practice, to the detriment of the team and your career, I'm going to play you in a meaningless football game the entire way through, which means You might play a little bit against the ones. You might play against the twos. You might play against the threes, and you might play against the UPS workers that come Monday morning won't even be on that football team anymore. How does that make it better? And a player that's scrapping and fighting in training camp, trying to make that roster, he doesn't even get to play in preseason game number two, which means that he won't get to put any tape out there and you won't get to properly evaluate him. Congratulations, Gerard Mayo. Bozo of the day right there. Stop the madness. This guy ready to be a head coach with that type of philosophy? Yeah, we got a lot more hot topics right here. Make sure you keep the channel, SiriusXM channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Best hour of your day officially underway and in full blast. It's Moneyline right here on the Sports Grid Network, SiriusXM channel 159, down the right side here. Solo mission as we head towards football season. Did you guys know out here, you might be driving around in your car, listening to the podcast, in your cubicle, out and about, hanging out at the beach, hanging out at the lake house. Next Saturday, next weekend, guys, college football season will have begun. Can you believe it? We've waited the long, hard, cold winter months all throughout the spring. The dead heat of the summer is finally going to bear fruit. As we go on a run of late August through September, October, November, December, January, and February, all football. Sports collide in October where hockey begins. And the NBA comes into play. The NHL. Then we get to college basketball. What a time of year. We've made it, people. We have made it here. And by the way, I do love week number two of the preseason just to get a look at some of these players that are going to be trying to make the football team, but more importantly, who's going to be those starters and those young quarterbacks. So it's the perfect segue into J.J. McCarthy. Looked very good against the Las Vegas Raiders. Looks like he was going to challenge for that starting spot with Sam Darnold as the starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. Comes into training camp the very next day. Hey, coach, something ain't right with my knee right here. It's a little bit sore. Goes to get checked out. Looks like we have some meniscus issues. That his knee is going to get opened up and they're going to check the extent of the damage. There's two different ways you can go about it. You can trim. You can make a couple adjustments. Be back sooner than later. But if there is a full reconstruction of that knee and the meniscus, that's going to be down for a much longer time period, and maybe J.J. McCarthy doesn't even get his rookie season off the ground before it even starts. But if we are looking at J.J. McCarthy, the bright future of the NFL, we believe he has. He's in Minnesota. He's in pretty good hands. You got a great head coach, great offensive coordinator, and Kevin O'Connell. Very solid ground here. You have one of the best, if not the best, wide receiver in the NFL, a very good tight end, and a competent running back that you signed in the offseason, away from your division rival, the Green Bay Packers, in Aaron Jones. Things are looking good there. So my question, though, is what do we do with J.J. McCarthy this season? Because I asked it this morning when we were talking on the early line. Like, it's one of those scenarios for me that could make some sense where, let's just say it's the better version of the injury than the worst-case scenario. He's out 4 to 8 weeks, which then will take care of, obviously, the rest of August, all through September, and let's put it on schedule for the end of October that he can return. He can practice. He can get back into the flow of it. And if the Minnesota Vikings are in contention, which we don't know if they will, let's just play it out, devil's advocate. They are in contention, which means a 500 football club in the early parts of November. J.J. McCarthy is healthy. Do you put him in at that point? Or do you just ride it out with Sam Darnold? Because we did ask Joe Lisi, who joined us this morning, and I think his question and answer was fair. If you're a really good football team, meaning you're 3 or 4 games above 500 with Sam Darnold, he's never getting into that lineup. But if you are one of those teams where you're actually saying, boy, we might be able to make the playoffs, let's put our young rookie quarterback out there to see if he can sink or swim at this point in a pivotal spot. Because the one thing we do know, you're probably making a deep run with either quarterback. And you do have your franchise guy that you drafted and got in the draft early in the first round of J.J. McCarthy. You want to see how he does on the football field. And rightfully so. We've had instances in the past where a decent football team hands the reins over to their young starting quarterback just to see what he can do. And I think that's a valid option. It just would be a shame because, you know, even talking about Anthony Richardson of the Indianapolis Colts last year, we never got to see him live up to the hype. And boy, he started out, shot out of a cannon. just a piece of granite out there running around faster than everybody else. He couldn't stay healthy. His season ended early. Now, the question marks that come up that could have been answered last year, is he our franchise guy? Can he make the right decisions? We're going to do that in year number two. It's a shame that we might be doing that with J.J. McCarthy, because of all intents and purposes, Jim Harbaugh told you, he's the best leader of men I've ever been around. And his record will tell you that. Through high school and through college, he barely lost any football games. Any person that you talked to, and we even had a couple of those, you know, offensive linemen from Michigan on the early line during that draft process, glowing remarks for J.J. McCarthy. So you figured he's probably in the way to be at least a starter, on the way, I should say, to being a starter sooner than later. But I, you know how my mind works at this point. I immediately say to myself, where the Minnesota Vikings were not on my radar, and they're still not for the regular season in totality, which means playoff run, chance to win the division. I'm not there on them. I don't think Darnold is a great quarterback by any stretch, but now he doesn't have to look over his shoulder. Now the next 2.5 weeks of training camp leading up to game number one, it's all centered around Sam Darnold. And the reason I bring that up is they play the Giants in game number one at MetLife Stadium. They opened up over the offseason FanDuel Sportsbook, I think a -1 point favorite, but now a -1.5. So not a lot of line movement there. And also, there's not going to be a lot to J.J. McCarthy, who was a rookie, that you expect him to do big things here right off the bat, which I think you get a little bit of a bonus bump by going to the veteran quarterback, once again, who's solidified now as the starter in week number one. Total's pretty low in that game. Joe Lisi likes the over in that. It's kind of hard to sell me so far, but the first 2 weeks of the season, we get to know a lot about these NFL football teams, but taking a total to the over with Danny Dimes and Sam Darnold might be a tough one. But having said that, I don't think the Giants' defense is all that great. We're probably going to get, outside of 30-mile-an-hour and windy rain, you're going to get warmer temperatures and probably a beautiful day in the Meadowlands in New Jersey. Over 1.5 touchdown passes, Sam Darnold going to be on my list there. Because we saw that offense look decent with a backup quarterback, or should I say rookie quarterback, in J.J. McCarthy. You put the starter out there and you add Justin Jefferson into that environment. Why can't they score a couple points against the New York Giants? Are the Giants surprised now? Like, are Giants fans looking at this game? Now we can get them. Now we can get him since J.J. McCarthy's not playing. No, you actually want the rookie in his first career game having some of those nerves and maybe not seeing all the things that an NFL quarterback has seen over his career. And again, this gets back to also, Sam Darnold isn't a great quarterback, but I think he can function well. So when I look at a guy like J.J. McCarthy getting surgery, usually it's like, we're going to be out on the Minnesota Vikings. I am a dumpster diver sometimes in the NFL on team totals that I find a quarterback get a little bit of urgency on where everybody's writing off and say, why can't that guy score this many points? Now, I don't have the numbers in front of me. Quite frankly, I don't even think they're out yet. It's got to be what game number one. If that total was 40 and they're the favorite, what are they coming in around? 20.5 points you can probably find out there. 21.5 at some outlets. 3 touchdowns out of the Minnesota Vikings opening day with Sam Darnold. I think he's throwing 2 touchdowns, people. More hot topics and Major League Baseball right here on deck. Stay tuned.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, let's get back at it here. By the way, next segment here, we are going to get to Major League Baseball, start handicapping here, but this short segment, so some hot topics and some good topics to talk about. One is the Dallas Cowboys. We've known their offseason, once again predicated by Jerry Jones, their owner and de facto general manager, saying, hey guys, we're going all in this year, which means we're going to spend crazy tons of money, bring in a ton of new free agents, really max this thing out in hopes that we can win a Super Bowl championship. Didn't happen. Brought in nobody. And now CeeDee Lamb still hasn't shown up to training camp, getting fined on a day-to-day basis. Dak Prescott didn't get his money. Micah Parsons going to wait till next year to get his money. Vibes are not high in Dallas. But the reason I bring this up, which sometimes it does make me chuckle, $10.2 billion valuation of the Dallas Cowboys. The most expensive franchise in the history of professional sports on this planet. So if Jerry Jones probably would say, you know what, the Dallas Cowboys are up for sale, he's going to make $10 billion on that transaction. You say, wow, that's pretty impressive. Why would he do that? He's got more money than God. He's not going to sell the team. That's not really the point I'm trying to make here. The fact that they are worth $10.2 billion has to infuriate guys. And again, it's not their team. They play for the team. They play for the owner. They get compensated well for the most part. Maybe not what they think they should get, but they get paid well. Dak Prescott's like, yeah, kick it down the street. I'm making $50-plus million. He's going to be just fine. But CeeDee Lamb is looking to cash in. A lot of guys in his position have rung that cash register bell, man, and they are getting paid. He just wants his money. But it does have to be infuriating. A few days ago, your owner and general manager comes out and says, it's not really urgent. Well, we miss him. It's not too urgent here to sign CeeDee Lamb. Unbelievable thoughts. This is the preseason you're in now, where you're trying to get ready for an NFL season where you can make a deep run into the playoffs. And you're telling your best player outside of Dak Prescott, who Dak Prescott desperately needs, who actually led the league last year in catches. And I saw a statistic today on CeeDee Lamb. He had 988 more yards than the closest wide receiver on that team. That is outrageous. That tells you how important CeeDee Lamb is to that team. And if CeeDee Lamb, honestly, right now, help me out, people. If CeeDee Lamb right now said, I want to be the highest paid wide receiver in the history of the sport, I want a dollar more than Justin Jefferson, would anybody actually say he's not worth it, to be honest? Like, CeeDee Lamb is as good as it gets in the NFL. It's his time to get an extension. Why can't he get paid the same as Justin Jefferson? Or if he's even trying to be in that ballpark. The one thing I do know, if they enter the season without CeeDee Lamb, it's going to be a disaster for the Dallas Cowboys. Mike McCarthy will be fired. People, again, will be saying, Jerry Jones, step down, sell the team. You're a bum. Dak Prescott, get out of my way. You get the point here. Micah Parsons might be looking elsewhere because he just can't get down with the Dallas Cowboys. I just don't understand why the delay. If you ask me now, will CeeDee Lamb be playing week number one for the Dallas Cowboys with a brand spanking new contract? I actually think that's the favorite right now as opposed to the underdog. He's got to come back, and Jerry Jones has to know that. By the way, Jordan Penseel checking in here on X at Right Side VP. We're almost there. Football is almost here. Also, we'll be in the building tomorrow for Braves and Giants. Max Fried, Logan Webb pitching. Hashtag SG Moneyline. Now, the reason I did see that as well, it actually came up on my notification, but Moneyline was spelled wrong. I still got you, though. I still see it out there. Hashtag SG Moneyline. You got a comment, you got a shout out, you got a game today, Major League Baseball, you got a thought that you want to get out there, hit me up on the X machine. Just hit up hashtag SG Moneyline. You want to send it to me at Right Side VP directly, that's fine, but we'll go with the Moneyline tag. You got a play, you got a topic, you got a question. That's how we get down with the business here. Since we don't have the phone lines open, that's the next best way to talk to the people if you want to give us a shout out here. Other topics, the Cincinnati Bengals. What are they doing with their superstar wide receiver, Ja'Marr Chase? It's been pretty quiet, but yesterday, I don't want to say we had a breakthrough in the contract, but typically, Ja'Marr Chase has been out on the field, off to the side, t-shirt, shorts, catching footballs off a jugs machine, being around the fellas. He wasn't there yesterday. Are we reading into it that he's upset? No, not necessarily. He might have just had the day off or was, who knows, rehabbing something inside of the building. It's crazy to think that Ja'Marr Chase, who I don't actually think is going to get a contract before the season starts, is wild, man. I could get started having an entire show all myself in that aspect, which then leaves us to Brandon Ayuk. We had a couple segments this morning on the early line. Nobody understands what's going on, but I could be wrong, but I've been around the block quite a bit here. Brandon Ayuk doing his due diligence along with his agent, reaching out to other ball clubs, getting the agreement for maybe a trade that can be in place. But in order for that to happen, you have to hammer out a contract where he's comfortable with those details. Those details, he's not comfortable with. Why? He wants to be a 49er. And the 49ers are letting him use the rest of the league as a barometer to see how much money he actually would be worth on the open market and what they are willing to pay. I think he's going to stay a 49er. Major League Baseball next, people. Let's make some money.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Oh, it's smarter to be on Sports Grid. You absolutely know that, people. Donnie Wright said here, solo mission. Morning money line. Get used to it. It's going to be great during football season. Hopefully, we get those phone lines worked out. But if not, reach out to me, hashtag SG Moneyline, right here on X. We can get down to business. We can have some fun. And now we're going to talk some Major League Baseball. But before we do Major League Baseball today, let's take a look at what happened last night on the card. Some misses, some thoughts, and how we can maybe translate that into today to make more money. Nationals pegged the Orioles yesterday, man. Here's the tough part about it. I do like to pick out sometimes, and just a PSA out here to the people, if you're betting 21 RBI props every single night, you will lose your money sooner than later. There's no doubt about that. Last night, I was like, you know what? Let's have some fun. It's a little summer. We're, you know, getting ready for football season. Let's see if you can catch lightning in a bottle, maybe get 12 of those 21 batters to cash in on RBI props all at plus money and really have a good night. Didn't work out my favor. Didn't lose a lot of money, but did have a lot of fun. Note once again, you can't do that on a night-to-night basis. It will not work out in your favor. You're looking to catch lightning in a bottle. If it happens, congratulations. If not, go back to your old strategies the very next day, which we will today. I did have Kowser to get an RBI yesterday and Anthony Santander. Both of those guys on the Orioles did get that RBI for me. Also had Jackson Holliday, who did get a base hit, but came up. I had him also to get an RBI in that game. Second and third, one out. Perfect scenario. Kid put the ball in play. We're going to cash in this RBI prop. Of course, he struck out at that point. Also, on the opposite side, I had Juan Yepes to get an RBI here for the Nationals, only to find out the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players after Yepes in the order got RBI for the Washington Nationals. Sometimes it just works out that way, but that was an interesting loss, per se, for the Baltimore Orioles yesterday. Guardians beat the Cubs 2-1. My Philadelphia Phillies. Let me just take that deep breath. Marlins iced them yesterday 5-0. A listless, lifeless effort from the Phillies at the plate and on the mound. Taijuan Walker right off the bat, getting booed off the mound in the first inning. They never could get out of their own way. Next game, I thought would be closer and also an under. The Mariners scored one run and got three hits. Tarik Skubal is probably going to win the Cy Young Award in the American League. He was fantastic. George Kirby is a great pitcher. He was not. They got beat 15-1 yesterday. 20 hits registered for the Tigers. And how about this? We always like when players return back to the lineup. Typically, it's Mookie Betts that we're saying to ourselves, like, hey, Mookie's back. He hit a home run. Awesome. How about Kerry Carpenter? 3 of 5 yesterday, 3 RBI, 2 bombs. He hasn't played since May. Welcome back to the Detroit lineup yesterday. Absolutely scalding the baseball. The Astros beat the Rays again. I do think they beat him again today, by the way. The Reds put a 4-1 victory over the sinking Cardinals. The Athletics, one of the better teams in baseball since the All-Star break, say it ain't so. 9-4 over the Mets as the Mets continue a mini slide here. The Red Sox pounded out 9 runs on 12 hits over the Rangers yesterday. The Twins, 13 runs scored in a 13-3 effort over the Royals. The Dodgers beat the Brewers, which I do think they're going to beat them again today. They won yesterday 7-2. How about the Yankees? 4-1 over the White Sox. They needed that bounce back performance, almost a $3 favorite yesterday also. Nestor Cortez was great on the mound. Juan Soto, first 3 home run game of his career on a dinger Tuesday at the FanDuel Sportsbook. He was great. Jays knock out the Angels. The Diamondbacks continue to stay absolutely red hot with a 4-3 victory over the Rockies. The Padres, again, I'll use that same term, absolutely red hot, beating the Pittsburgh Pirates 3-0. And then the nightcap, the Braves, in extra innings, beat the San Francisco Giants. All right, sets the table. Won't have as many bets as we did yesterday. A lot of mediocre pitchers on the card today. Some guys we certainly want to fade. So as we start and say, all right, the pitchers that we might want to stay away from today, a good XFIP minus numbers, the top 5 pitchers, that's Robbie Ray of the San Francisco Giants. That's Cole Reagans of the Kansas City Royals. Bo Bresky of the Detroit Tigers, which is interesting. He's got a 5 ERA, but in the top 3 because he does have probably really good strikeout props. Numbers, I should say. Grant Holmes of the Atlanta Braves. Who would have thought that, right? Typically, we're talking about Chris Sale at the top there, Ronaldo Lopez. But how about our guy Grant Holmes, who, by the way, if you haven't checked out yet, fantastic picture in the yearbook. Yearbook, I guess you could say, or maybe the press clippings that he gets, or whatever, the Atlanta Braves. You take that, hey, you know, we're going to be on the team this year. Here's your headshot. Fantastic one. Beautiful head of lettuce. Strong neckline there. Looks the part. And by the way, pitching the part as well, as I told you. Number 1 on the card. You wouldn't have thought this either if I gave you 10 guesses. Washington Nationals. DJ Hers. 3.98 ERA, but an XFIP number of an 81. great Sierra number, great XFIP number. So guys that you, again, a top five, Brian Wu, Robbie Ray, Cole Reagans, Bo Bresky, Grant Holmes, and DJ Herbs. That's usually who we should be bringing up the bottom of the roster today. That's the top of the roster. A lot of guys in that mid-range from 100 to 103 to 96s. They're all lumped in there. Let's go over the bottom five pitchers on the card today. Joey Estes, seems like every time he pitches, right? For the Oakland Athletics, he comes up dead last. He's a 131 XFIP minus over the past 60 days, a high ERA, a sky-high XFIP number, and the only, actually, two pitchers on the card today with XFIP minuses that are bad and also terrible Sierra numbers, each over five. That's the danger zone at this point. Dean Kramer of the Baltimore Orioles, coming in at 24 of 25 pitchers at a 124 XFIP minus. Dane Dunning of the Texas Rangers, he's got a .122 XFIP minus number. Jordan Montgomery of the Arizona Diamondbacks, take a look at this. A 6.03 ERA, a 122 XFIP minus number, high XFIP in Sierra. They're $2 favorites today against the Colorado Rockies. And the Rockies do technically stink, but if we're just going on analytical terms, I brought this up on the early line. Tanner Gordon on the mound today for the Colorado Rockies. Seventh out of 25 pitchers with a 94 XFIP minus. And it also has a high ERA that is over six. Donnie, how could that be? That's why it's a 2-to-1 price. But granted, that XFIP minus number levels the playing field and sort of takes out that unfair disadvantage that you have with pitching in Colorado at Coors Field. Then let's just say pitching out there for the San Francisco Giants, right? So that's an interesting underdog to look at here. But that's the setup of the landscape here. Let's get into the games themselves because we do have afternoon Major League Baseball today. Starting in Minnesota, it's Kansas City and the Minnesota Twins. Cole Reagans will be on the mound today. I just told you, he's got really good numbers. Even though I like that Minnesota Twins lineup, the one thing they don't do good, guys, is what? Hit left-handed pitching. Three guys in the lineup. Royce Lewis, Ryan Jeffers, and Carlos Santana. Solid against lefties. Everybody else bad. We're going to pass on the Minnesota Twins. Kansas City. Lineup looks decent today. Going up against Louis Varland. The one thing Louis Varland does struggle with is left-handed batters. So left-handed batters in the lineup that we could possibly look at today. Michael Massey, Vinny Pasquantino, and MJ Melendez here for the Kansas City Royals. Do I love the game? Not necessarily, because Louis Varland has only had 24 batters he's faced over the past 30 days. But if we extend that to the full season, and still not a huge sample size, it's still 148 batters. That's a 182 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 378. So typically, lefties are going to get the best of Louis Varland. That's the way that you probably want to look. Now, we just talked about this game and the two pitchers here. The Arizona Diamondbacks and the Colorado Rockies. Monster favorite. Let's just call it a minus 225 here for the Diamondbacks. Colorado Rockies, anywhere that plus 180 to plus 185 range. You look at that Arizona Diamondbacks roster, it is sensational against right-handed pitching. Tanner Gordon, he's a right-handed pitcher. He's got average numbers. We're talking about Tanner Gordon. Last 41 batters he's faced, it's a 175 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 321. That's average. Lefties has been okay. But boy, oh boy, you are going against a murderer's row of offense for Arizona. So you think to yourself, you have the advantage. A pitcher with a 6 ERA over the past 60 days going up against a great red-hot lineup. But hear me out on this. Jordan Montgomery on the opposite side. I told you, he's 22 out of 25 on the card today. A 122 XFIP minus, which is terrible. An ERA that's sky high and high XFIP and Sierra numbers. It's not a great lineup for the Colorado Rockies. But if they're going to hit anybody and have a chance at close to a $2 underdog price, it's probably the Colorado Rockies game. That starts at 340. Am I saying I'm betting that and taking the dog price? Probably not the case here at this point. But more on the way next. Keep that dial right here. SiriusXM Channel 159, right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back out of here. Just got hit up here on the X machine. ISC at Go Fast Troy. Hey, Right Side VP. Let's put together a nice three-leg home run parlay, hashtag SG Moneyline. These are the questions that we love. So over the commercial break, just scouring quickly, and sometimes that's the best damage you can do here. I have Jake Berger. Let me just get these odds for here. So before I give it away, I got one more to add in here. Philadelphia Phillies game, taking on the Marlins. I'm going to put Jake Berger in here. He does have some good numbers. Let me just see. Two hit, a home run. Where's our guy, JB? Berger boy, plus 330. All right, hear me out on this. Now, this is just going off of FanDuel. Might get better odds out there depending on where you're shopping. You know, I like FanDuel. I like Bet365, two of my primary books here. But if we are going right now and saying, ooh, who could those three guys be? The three best on the card. And again, not just saying, oh, they're my favorite batters and I think they hit home runs. No, the matchup does make sense. Aaron Judge, plus 172, which is a ridiculously low price. Yordan Alvarez of the Houston Astros, plus 255. And Jake Berger, who I believe hit another one last night against the Philadelphia Phillies at a plus 330 price. If you were to bet, just say $25 on that parlay, that pays out at $1,013.02. That's a 40.5-to-1 parlay here for home runs. Judge, Alvarez, and Berger. We'll see if that one can torch tonight, but the people ask, the people shall receive. If you have any questions, home run props, the game tonight that you like, or a question to be asked, hashtag SG Moneyline to get through. Since we can't take calls, we're going to live in that digital age, people. That's the way we get down. All right, let's get back to business here on the card tonight. Home run props in order, Colorado, Arizona, decent chances to get after it. We'll find out. Now, if we do take a look at that Colorado game, as we said, is it worth an underdog chance? Could be on the Colorado Rockies. San Diego and Pittsburgh. San Diego, again, Arizona. They're going to start pitch, what, within a half hour of each other? 3:40 p.m., by the way, is that Arizona Diamondbacks, Colorado Rockies game. Pittsburgh and San Diego, that's a 4:10 Eastern start. Favorite here for the Padres, and rightfully so. Mitch Keller on the mound. The Pirates can't pick up any wins. But Martin Perez is on the mound today. The only issue here, you take a look at that Pittsburgh Pirates lineup, not a lot of love overall for going up against left-handed pitching. Probably going to pass on that game. Texas Rangers and the Boston Red Sox. The Red Sox are going to go up against Dane Dunning, who has 61 batters faced over the past 30 days. Is he on my roster here for 60 days? Yes, he is. Dane Dunning, guys. 23rd out of 25 pitchers on the card today. A 122 XFIP minus, elevated numbers in FIP, Sierra, and also XFIP minus. So if we're looking from a Boston Red Sox perspective, here's the tough part about it. On the season itself, I guess you have to go for more of those type of numbers. But he does struggle with left-handed batters, which is not what you want to do against the Boston Red Sox. So Willy Abreu comes up. Yoshida comes up. Devers comes up. And Dominic Smith comes up. The usual suspects on the left-hand side. All elevated numbers past 30 days against right-handed pitching. They can be in your lineup. Texas Rangers, Tanner Houck, who was having a much better season a couple weeks ago than what he is now. But Tanner Houck, where does he come in here? How about this? 20th on the card out of 25. He's got an XFIP minus of 109 and a 4.78 ERA. He was one of the better pitchers in baseball, you know, numbers-wise, just a few short weeks ago. Now struggling. Do you know who he's struggling with the most? Look, on the season itself, 301 batters he's faced. Take a look at his ISO power number against. 084. That's incredible. 272 weighted on base percentage. Filthy against lefties, but over his last 48 batters from the left-hand side over the past 30 days, a 262 ISO power number and a weighted on base percentage of 349. Do you automatically just plug in Corey Seager into that lineup? I can't fight you if you say yes. And the numbers for Tanner Houck, not as good over the past 60 days as, let's just say, the first 60 days of the Major League Baseball season. Washington and Baltimore, DJ Hurz on the mound. This is the interesting one. He's the best analytical pitcher on the card today, XFIP minus at an 81 for me. Low XFIP number, low Sierra number. But his numbers sort of tell a different story. His last 76 batters combined, lefty and righty's ISO power number, that's a 209. So he does give that up a little bit. And you're going up against a powerful lineup. But, as I said, have a game plan, people, and stick to that game plan. And that's what I'm going to do. No Baltimore lineup for me tonight. Dean Kramer on the mound. Not a great pitcher by any stretch. He's 25th, I should say. A 124 XFIP minus number, an ERA above 5. An XFIP number above 5. A Sierra number almost close to 5 here. Who would you trust in that lineup? Because you do have some guys in that Nationals lineup against right-handed pitcher over the past 30 days. Do have some decent weighted on base percentage numbers. Alex Call, Luis Garcia, and James Wood. By the way, James Wood, good young-looking prospect there. .218 ISO, .397 weighted on base percentage. Those might be some opportunities also to take a look at. Seattle and Detroit, bounce back effort tonight. Brian Wu on the mound against Detroit, trying to limit them to somewhere less than 15 runs scored, which they placed yesterday. But even though Kerry Carpenter's back in that lineup, had a big day yesterday, I like the look, technically, but just not in this game. Trust the numbers. Brian Wu's been decent. Maybe we don't go that direction. Bo Brieski, also, top three on the card. Like, most people never even heard of this guy before. 47 batters over the past 30 days, a 136 ISO. He's having a decent season analytically. We're going to stay away from Seattle and Detroit in a game that scored, what, 16 total runs yesterday? 15 of those runs coming from one side. Miami and Philadelphia, man. I mean, absolutely good luck. Good luck trying to fill out the Philadelphia Phillies. They had a guy I never even heard of on the mound yesterday who I think was a tenor over in Milan, Italy at this point. Dominated the Phillies. They couldn't sniff this guy. Pop up after pop up after pop up. Today they're going to get Edward Cabrera. Not a great pitcher, but who the heck are you backing in that Philadelphia Phillies lineup? Outside of just saying I'm going to take Schwarber to hit a home run, you can't trust anybody. At least Schwarber's swinging for the fence every single time, and if he runs into one, he can cash in that ticket. But Tyler Phillips on the other side for the Philadelphia Phillies, struggling against right-handed batters. You know who is on fire right now? On fire. That's Jake Berger of the Marlins. A .339 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of .463 through his last 69 at-bats. Berger boy in Philadelphia going deep again? It just could be again. Somebody save my Philadelphia Phillies. I'm losing my mind over here. More Major League Baseball next. Make sure you keep it right here on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's all about the unders, people. Paul Nickerson uses the X machine. Says, hey, Dooney, D-O-O-N-I-E. You like the Pats season total wins, 5.5, but heavily juiced at -165. I don't like nothing about the Pats. Zero. Maybe I'm just on a haters platform right now, but I just see them as not a very talented football team with questionable quarterback play coming into the season in a very tough division. I don't think they get the 5.5 wins. I don't, which means 5-12 makes a lot of sense for the New England Patriots. And boy, that's a bad football team. If you win five or less games in today's NFL, that is absolutely brutality here. Brutality. All right. Thanks for chiming in, Paul. See what we can do. Home run props. We got those answered. Major League Baseball card, knocking it down. Phillies, I'm disgusted with. Should they score runs tonight? Should they win? Who knows? Team stinks right now. Let's move on to Chicago and Cleveland. Cleveland looked like they were falling off the map now with a couple straight victories. Taking on the Chicago Cubs today. Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor. Possibilities to be on your card. Why? Left-handed batters give Jameson Taillon issues here. He struggled over the past 30 days to the tune of a .333 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of .438. So left-handed batters in the lineup, which also maybe even include Bo Naylor down at the bottom. But if I'm looking for just two batters in the middle of that lineup with chances to do damage, that's Jose Ramirez and Josh Naylor. On the other side for the Chicago Cubs, Alex Cobb is on the mound. We don't have a lot of statistics to build off of this year. Only 21 batters he's faced, which essentially has been one start. Hap, Bush, Suzuki, Bellinger making sense, yes, but I don't have a long enough track record this year to make an honest opinion on those two. St. Louis and Cincinnati, not a great baseball game, 6:40 p.m. tonight. Kyle Gibson, for me, technically the better pitcher than Emilio Pagan, but Pagan's only faced three batters over the past 30 days, 90 total on the season. However, he does struggle with left-handed batters. The issue here is not a lot of great left-handed batters in the lineup that are on fire for the Cardinals over the past 30 days, so it looks like that's probably going to be a pass for me. Houston Astros and the Tampa Bay Rays tonight. Zach Littell's on the mound. Should be able to hit him. Why? Bregman, Alvarez, Diaz, and Singleton have all high weighted on base percentages and ISO power numbers against right-handed pitching over the past month. If you had to zero it down to one, you know me. It's a right-handed pitcher. I'm going to lean towards the left-handed batter. Yordan Alvarez, a .360 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of .461 against right-handed pitching over the past month. Alvarez, that's why we picked him here to go yard tonight. He should have a good game nonetheless. Oakland Athletics, who pounded the New York Mets yesterday, and the Mets also struggling a bit. But Joey Estes is on the mound today. Struggles with left-handed batters, not a great right-handed pitcher. The issue that we're going to run into is the best by far in this lineup for me, it's Jeff McNeil of the six hole tonight. 66 at-bats he's faced against right-handed pitching over the past month. Jeff McNeil, a 333 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 443. That's a guy that's probably has to be on your card tonight. David Peterson will be on the mound here for the New York Mets. By the way, look at these numbers for two baseball players on the Oakland Athletics. Daz Cameron and Brent Rooker. Heavy numbers that they've had? No. 15 at-bats apiece against left-handed pitching over the past month. But look at these ISO power numbers, people. 462 for Cameron. Rooker, 583. What happens if we extended that down the list? Shea Langeliers, 15 at-bats also against lefties over the past month. 583 ISO power number. Maybe we got to put a few of those in there. I'm excited now about this card tonight. Will Warren on the mound. Last time we saw him, he got cracked. He got cracked in that doubleheader at Yankee Stadium last week. But Will Warren's going up against the Chicago White Sox. He should have a good game, right? Nestor Cortez, who's been struggling, he had a good game yesterday. But again, left-handed batters, he's gotten the best of. Andrew Benintendi actually has the best numbers in the lineup against right-handed pitching. I don't know if we can go with a lefty there. Andrew Vaughn, maybe an opportunity there. But again, it's the White Sox. It's really hard to trust. Walker Buehler back on the mound today is a short favorite for the Dodgers going up against Frankie Montas. That first five guys in the lineup for the Dodgers will do damage once again tonight. Montas, not a great pitcher. Take your choice here. Weighted on base percentage combined, there was last 92 at-batters between lefties and righties. It's a 397. And just to give you a look, he's faced 42 lefties and 50 righties over the past month. Weighted on base percentage, 394 to lefties, 400 to righties. Take your pick. Otani, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez, Lux, all make a lot of sense there. Toronto and Los Angeles. Barrios to be on the mound. Not a great season. I bet Neto the other night. I needed him just get a base hit for a winning night. Couldn't do that for me. So what's Neto do last night, guys? Yeah, he got three base hits. Congratulations, Zach Neto. I don't know how I can live with myself. The guy's just playing me out left and right. Atlanta and San Francisco late night. Probably looking to be an under again. It's a 7.5. Two bad lineups. These teams can't score. That'll do it for the Major League Baseball card. Follow me at Rightside VP. We got some hot plays tonight. We are giving them out because we are for the people, and winning is what it's all about here. I'm Donnie Rightside for JP Behind the Wheels of Steel. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of Moneyline. I'll be back tomorrow. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.